Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Make no mistake, of all leading cigarettes, Philip Morris, and only Philip Morris, is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. No other cigarette can make that statement. So take a tip from Johnny and... From Radio City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show. With Kirk Cousin, Jack Albertson, Johnny Gibson, Mary Schiff, Charlie Irving, Billy Sands, our singing star Dick Farney, Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallup. Ladies and gentlemen, this week, the city of New York asked permission to conduct a $10 million lottery. In taking up the subject of gambling tonight, we bring you a man who just spent a week in Florida for a change and a rest. The slot machines took his change and the bookmakers took the rest. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Thank you. Oh, you hear that whistling? Sounds like Whistler's brother out there. Thank you. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, what a trip I had coming back from Florida. I had to come back by Greyhound. It wasn't easy. I kept slipping off his back. Boy, what prices down there. You spend a whole week getting beautiful tan, then they give you the bill and you turn white again. I really mean that. I really went down there, though, to visit my mother. Oh, she's lovely. She's old-fashioned. She sits by a spinning wheel with numbers on it. I mean, well, don't laugh. My mother, she has a wonderful job with the Miami Chamber of Commerce. The minute it starts raining, she runs out to the city limits and nails up a sign that says, "Welcome to Los Angeles." Welcome to us. Your name and address again, please. But I went down to Florida really to work. You didn't know that, Mr. Gallup. Yes, I starred at the Copacabana while I was down there. I was a sensation. I ran there for four nights.
Yes, and on the fifth night, the audience caught you. I don't have much to do in this program, but what I do is top-notch.
Yes. Yes. Sometimes it don't come out right either. Yes. You seem... Mr. Gallup, you seem so happy tonight, Mr. Gallup. You must have got up on the right side of your slab this morning. Who gives you those jokes? Henry Morgue? Let us get back to our subject, Mr. Gallup, of tonight, of gambling. I don't suppose that your family in Boston gambled.
Oh, contraire. Our home was a veritable beehive of whist, parcheesi, and spit in the ocean.
Really? Mm-hmm. Was your father a gambler?
Inveterate.
He was?
Mm-hmm. To this day, Dad can't pass a game of chance without wagering a few shillings.
Shillings? Mm-hmm. He uses English money?
Naturally. We came over in the Mayflower, you know.
Oh, yes, sure. So?
Dad still doesn't recognize the present rebel government.
Oh, I see. Awful quiet, isn't it? Maybe this is the rebel government here. You see, your father was a gambler?
Oh, Dad was the toast of Boston sporting crowd.
Was he?
And then the blow fell.
Really, Mr. Gallup? What happened?
Father was accused of fixing a fox hunt.
A fox hunt?
Yes. Father had a big bet riding on the fox.
Oh, I see. On the fox, yes.
Yes, he was accused of trying to dope the hounds.
He doped the hounds?
Someone saw him putting Ovaltine in their kennel ration.
And they nabbed him?
Not until later, when they caught him stuffing cotton up the tally-ho horn.
I see. And what did they do to your father?
They wished upon him the Boston curse.
The Boston curse? What's the Boston curse?
That all his children should go to Yale.
Mr. Gallup, I have heard of life with father, but that routine was death with father. That's all right. You got a lot of talent, but it's in Harry Von Zell's name. But I'm... on with the show tonight as we take up the subject of gambling.
Millions of dollars are won and lost every day in this country.
But it is horse racing that is America's number one gambling sport.
If you must bet on the horses, here are four simple don'ts to always keep in mind.
One,
don't bet on a horse whose jockey is sitting on him backwards.
This shows lack of interest. Two,
Don't bet on a horse who shows up at the post with a dollar bill in his mouth.
Yes, this horse is tired and plans on coming home in a cab. Three.
Don't fall for those ridiculous stories about horses whispering into people's ears that they feel great and are going to win.
Horses are notorious liars. Four.
Don't step on the grass when you arrive at a racetrack.
That grass may be your dinner.
History is studded with great gambles, but the most reckless gamble in all history took place just a year ago when one businessman said to another,
"What do you say, Philip?
Okay, Morris, let's sponsor Milton Berle."
With gambling legalized in such divorce centers as Las Vegas and Reno, more and more women are flocking to the gaming tables. To show you ladies how not to behave in a gambling house, here is Mildred Berle at a roulette table.
All right, ladies, place your bets. Place your bets.
Yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo! Don't spin that wheel. Hold it. Wait for me. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, you put your money down, and the little ball goes around and around. Oh, I feel so frisky tonight.
Lady, what's your number?
What's my number?
Well, if you must know, it's Plaza 8, 1599. It's a candy store. They'll call me. Ask for Loudmouth. They'll know who you mean.
Lady, do you want to play?
Do I want to play?
I'm ready. Spin the bottle. I mean, spin the wheel.
Oh, what I said. With this kisser, too. Mildred, you gay divorcee.
Lady, I'm not interested in you.
Who is? Nobody loves me. Not even my husband. I'm charging him with mental cruelty. Mental cruelty. He used to beat my brains in.
Lady, please.
Oh, why didn't I get along with my husband? He was so wonderful. He put me on a pedestal. He said it was easier to throw rocks at me that way.
Lady, I'm spinning the wheel.
Don't spin the wheel. I get my number. I'll take number 3. I'm sentimental. That's my husband's hat size. He used to cut a hole in the top for the point. Well, spin the wheel. What are you waiting for?
Your money.
My money.
I forgot. Where's my purse? Oh, here's my purse. Oh, it's filling. It's filling.
I was loaded, wasn't I?
Lady, please.
Well, wait till I pick up my things. Let's see. Here's my stockings with the built-in calves. Here's my shaving kit, a pound of putty, my framed picture of Elmo Lincoln, a copy of Zip. What's this? Well, what do you know? The rear end of our old Essex. I kept telling my husband I felt something was dragging. And he kept saying it was me.
Lady, will you bet on a number?
I know, I'll bet the number of my age, 18. There, 10 cents on 18. Spin the wheel. There it goes. Oh, I can't look. There it is. Number 18 wins.
No, lady, the winner is number 52.
52?
Yes.
52. Oh, twaddle. If I'd have bet my right age, I would have won. Oh, you beast. That's what you are. You're nothing but a beast.
Ladies and gentlemen, the words you're about to hear are not our words. They are words written by one of America's top-ranking doctors. And if you smoke, these words concern you. Here's what the doctor reports.
In cases of irritation of the nose or throat, it is my usual practice with my patients who smoke to suggest that they change to Philip Morris.
And why does the doctor advise this change to Philip Morris? He says,
the reason for this advice is that I am convinced that they are less irritating than other cigarettes.
Yes, those are the actual words of an eminent nose and throat specialist. And those words concern you. For, like thousands of other smokers, you too may have the symptoms of cigarette irritation without even realizing it. For example, that tight, dry feeling you sometimes get in your throat from smoking, or that occasional cough, or that musty, stale taste in your mouth. Now, perhaps it never occurred to you, but all these may be symptoms of cigarette irritation. Common sense will tell you that when it comes to smoking, less irritation means more enjoyment. Yes, less irritation means a cleaner, fresher, milder smoke from your first cigarette in the morning to your last one at night. So isn't it good common sense to choose Philip Morris? Because of all leading cigarettes, Philip Morris, and only Philip Morris, is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. No other cigarette can make that statement.
Finished it, and that, not yet. I'm looking over a four-leaf clover, played by Ray Block and Philip Morris Orchestra, and Ray, that was swell. I won't say that you are the rich man's Harry Hawlick. I won't say that you are the poor man's Lud Gluskin. What I will say is that you're nobody's Ray Block. But I want to thank you, Ray Block, for sticking with me. Ray Block had a better offer. He did. He had an offer to go to Switzerland to sell brass knuckles to the Olympic teams. But let's not scatter it. Everyone applaud together, please. Please, this is not a dramatic show, but let us continue. Sometimes I think it is, but let us continue with our subject tonight of gambling as we present...
Gambling Forum tonight. Gambling Forum tonight. The question, will gin rummy ever take the place of the honeymoon?
I laid 8-5 on that one. I win. Thank you, Mr. Gallup. Let us proceed now with questions from our audience. Let's start with this gentleman in the aisle unloading the Eisenbutners. Bob, don't go away. When you're not laughing, I get nervous, you know. All right. What is it, sir? What is it you want, sir? This man that's standing here gazing at me as if I'm not ad-libbing. That's the name. That's the name, Mr. Burrow.
How do you do, sir?
I'm glad to see you.
I'm opening...
What are you made up for, kid? You have makeup all over your face. Are you in another show?
The Lost Weekend.
The Lost Weekend? I saw that picture and I take an oath never to see another picture like that again.
Mr. Burrow, I'm opening...
That's my name, Mr. Burrow, yes.
I'm opening...
I don't think we can top that. You can go... Please, please, this is a gambling forum tonight. Now, let's start with this gentleman that walked over to me on his knees. Gentlemen. This gentleman with the handlebar mustache and the bicycle clips on his nose. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Petrillo.
Petrillo?
They name me that because I'm a champion runner.
A champion runner? So they name you Petrillo?
I'm always breaking records.
I see what you mean, I see.
My name used to be Ray Block.
Ray Block?
I had to change it. It was damaging my reputation.
Why?
People thought I was associated with Milton Berle.
Well, that would do it. That would do it.
But I like my old name best.
You do?
People used to take off their hats and stand at attention when I showed up.
What was your old name?
Lucy Monroe.
All right, Lucy, you have a question that has to do with gambling.
Gambling? Why, are you turning the place into a gambling joint?
No,
What's the matter? The comedy didn't go so good, so you got to try another racket?
No, look,
I could have told you last year you weren't going to last.
That's not...
If you saw your latest Hooper rating, you wouldn't gamble. You'd save it.
Now, wait
Nothing's
a minute.
Nothing's going to help you unless you blow and make Frank Gallup the star of the show.
No.
Nothing's going to help you even if you should NBC for Big Town Original Joke.
Please.
I am not a spinning wheel.
We must not let ourselves be carried away. Let's hear from a woman in the audience. All right, this lady in the third row chopping liver with her spiked shoes. Young lady, what is your name?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
See? And you have a question that concerns gambling?
Yeah, why is my husband such a gambler? He spends all his time at the Upper White Plains Poker, Pinochle, and Fisher-Pasher Club.
Your husband likes to make bets?
They call him Feeney the Plunger.
He's a gambler?
He's a plumber.
Oh, I see. Is he a big bettor?
Yeah, he plays for buttons.
He plays for buttons?
He has to. He's always losing his pants.
He's crazy about card games, eh?
It's awful. If he can't find anybody else, he sits home and plays gin rummy with our dog.
Your dog? Must be a smart dog.
Nah, he's stupid. My husband beats him 2 out of 3.
Mrs. Feeney, doesn't your husband ever win?
Yesterday, he come home with a tremendous pot.
I see. He had a big winner?
He had a big dinner.
Did your husband ever win at the racetrack?
Did anybody?
See what you mean. I see what you mean.
Once my husband tried to fix a race.
Fix a race?
He gave the horse Benzedrine, 6 hypodermics, and put feathers under the saddle.
Did he win?
No, but he was the happiest horse in the race.
The horse didn't finish?
Are you kidding? That horse was so high, he came in at LaGuardia Airport.
Thank you, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you. Of our forum tonight, it is an honor to present one of America's great professional gamblers, a man of reckless daring and ferocious strength when aroused. None other than Nick Bet a Million Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. I shall always treasure this moment. It was a glorious opportunity to say hi there to the thousands of people who have come to me filthy with money and who have gone home cleaned out.
Tell us, Mr. Featherfield.
Excuse me, Mr. Merle. Do you mind if I sit down? I'm pooped.
You're tired?
On the way here, I picked up a piece of taffy off the sidewalk. I think I strained myself.
But Mr. Featherfield, a piece of taffy isn't heavy.
This one had a tooth in it.
Oh, that's different. Mr. Featherfield, how did you come to be a gambler?
My father was a dealer in a gambling house. He was a self-made man.
Really? He started from the bottom up?
Yes, and that's the way he dealt.
Mr. Featherfield, your father was crooked?
My father was so crooked. When he died, they just screwed him into the ground.
Your father passed away?
We lost Dad in a crap game.
A crap game?
Yes, he just kept fading until he disappeared.
Ah, Mr. Featherfield, to you, life is just a game of chance.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's how I won my wife. I took a chance on a raffle. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to get a turkey.
And?
I'm dead.
What?
I'm dead.
Mr. Featherfield, that's ridiculous. Saying that you couldn't tell your wife from a turkey.
Mr. Burrell, have you ever seen my wife?
No.
Then shut up.
Mr. Featherfield, your wife still mistreats you?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
No?
When my wife smeared me last night, she had a reason.
Mr. Featherfield, you've been bad again? Well, what happened?
Well, last night...
Yeah.
I shouldn't be telling you.
Oh, come on. What happened?
Well, last night, I didn't roll home until 8:30.
8:30? That's not very late.
Well, you don't understand. She'd only given me a 2-hour pass.
Thank you, Mr. Featherfield. Thank you. And here's our young singing star, Dick Bonney, to sing Golden Earring.
There's a story the gypsies know is true, that when your love wears golden earrings, she belongs to you. And no love story that's known to very few, but if you wear this golden earrings, love will come to you. By the burning fire they will glow with every call. You will hear desire whisper low inside your soul. So be my gypsy, make love your guide in life, and let this pair of golden earrings cast their spell tonight. And let this pair of golden earrings cast their spell.
Dick Varney, wonderful. What a voice. You know, Dick, when I was a kid in vaudeville, I used to sing. I really did. I have what you call a mezzo-salami voice. But, Mr. Gallup, tonight we're discussing gambling. And, you know, one of the great American institutions is the friendly little poker game at home. You know, the games that go on and on until the loser is even? Well, last week, the night before I was to leave for Florida, I was having some friends from the Friars Club come over to my house. And my wife...
Milton, if you're going to catch that plane in the morning, you better get some sleep.
You're right, darling. I open at the Copacabana tomorrow night, and I don't want to get there so tired that I fall asleep in front of my audience.
That would make it unanimous.
That would make it unanimous. I wonder what's keeping the boys.
Now, remember, try to get those poker fiends to go home before midnight.
Poker fiends? Who mentioned poker? We'll probably just sit around and talk about literature and modern painting. Oh, there they are. I want you to meet them, dear. Come in. Hiya, fellas. This is my wife. I'd like you
Why isn't the card table up?
Where's the chips?
Who deals?
Cut the card. Wait a minute.
Come on, let's go. We ain't got much time. I got to meet a guy for lunch tomorrow.
Okay, sit down, Joe. Mike, Pete, there. I'll deal. The usual stakes, eh?
Yeah, $10 ante.
$20 to open.
$40 limit.
Yeah, we settle for 2 cents on the dollar. I'll deal. We'll have to break it up at midnight, boys.
Ah, this is what I like. Straight poker. Nothing fancy.
I'll open for two.
Oh, no. That knock. No, that's our neighbor Sam Harrison and his wife Martha.
Get rid of them.
Oh, I'll try. Come in.
Hiya, Milton. When I heard you were leaving for Florida, I said, let's go over and say goodbye. Didn't I, Martha?
Yes.
Hello, Martha. Look, Sam, I'm busy. Drop around again sometime.
Oh, poker!
Sam, please.
Why, I'd rather play poker than eat, wouldn't I, Martha?
Yes.
Look, Sam, will
Introduce me to the suckers, Milty.
Boys, this is my neighbor, Sam Harrison.
Hello.
And this is his wife, Martha. She's really a wonderful gal.
Yes.
Look, Sam.
Give me those cards, I'll deal. We'll start off with a round of Missouri Red Dog High-Low.
Missouri Red...
Everything up to the 10 is wild. Count one-eyed jacks as aces and aces as queens. First king to show doubles the ante, and the four of spades kills the hand.
Sam, you don't understand. We just like to play a simple game.
Good. I'll deal a round of Mexican 12 cards, slap the deck.
Mexican...
8 cards down, 3 up, and you keep one in your hat. If you get an ace, you slap the deck and yell chihuahua.
Wait a minute, Sam. Look, we're just playing 5-card stud.
What's that? Yeah.
It's a new game Columbus brought over. I'll deal.
Boys, you won't mind Martha standing around. She loves the kibitz, don't you, Martha?
Yes.
Your bet, Joe.
I bet... Hey, does this dame have to stand this close behind me?
Yes.
Come on, Joe, bet.
I bet a dollar.
I raise a dollar.
I raise you another dollar.
Hmm, he must have aces back to back.
Yes.
Gave away his cards, didn't you, Martha?
Yes.
Martha, you shouldn't. Boys, please, don't go.
Come on, fellas, let's get out of here before we're rolling.
Boys, don't be... Sam, see what you did? They're my friends from the Friars. Now they'll make Henny Youngman president.
Martha's always doing that. Say, Martha.
Yes?
Isn't that how you got that scar over your arm?
Yes.
Look, I have to catch the plane for Florida in the morning. I better hit the hay.
Milton, you can't quit. I'm $2 loser.
So, Sam, my eyes are closing. Here's the $2.
No, I want to win it. When I lose, I mope around the house for a week without once opening my mouth. Isn't that right, Martha?
Yes.
All right, win the money, get even, deal.
There. You open?
Yes, I'll bet $2.
I call.
Good. Take the money.
Wait, what have you got?
A measly pair of deuces.
I have 4 aces.
Well, that's swell. Take the money.
You win.
But Sam, a measly pair of...
We're playing Yukon 8 card high boy cadoodle.
Cadoodle?
With deuces wild, your 5 of clubs counts double, and with your whole card a 2-way choice, you've got a royal flush.
I have a royal flush, a measly pair of Sam. Take the money.
Milty, Murphy, I'm not leaving until I'm even.
Take the money.
How about a round of sheep herders, double shuffle, ace high, Liverpool?
Take the money.
All red cards, wild.
Take the money.
The queen of spades doubles the ante.
Take the money.
The first ace is thrown up and thrown on the dealer's face.
Take the money.
Wake up, Milty. You bet.
Huh? Sam, look, it's 5 a.m.
So what? Martha and I can stay up for 3 nights in a row without feeling it. Can't we, Martha?
No. Sam, my plane, Florida. I have to quit. Take the money. Get even.
Ah, I got you now, Milty. I bet $10.
No, I raise you $10. There, take the pot and you'll be even.
Good. What have you got?
We're playing straight poker, eh?
Right.
Nothing wild, nothing fancy.
Right. What have you got?
Nothing. Take the money. See, no pairs, no flush, no straight. The highest card in my hand is an 8.
Beats me. I got a 7.
Sam!
Let's change the game to hack and sack high hand low boy with 6 cards on the floor.
Sam, my plan.
First ace pays double.
Sam.
Deuces count half.
Sam.
Low man splits with the dealer.
Sam.
Jack of diamonds wild.
Go home.
Raising only on a 6 high.
Go home.
Second ace gets half the kitty.
Go home.
The dealer is blind.
Go home.
Fasten your safety belt, please.
Hostess, hostess. How much longer?
We're landing in Miami in 5 minutes.
5 minutes? We can finish this hand. I got nothing, Sam. I got nothing, just 5 cards.
Beats me again. I've only got 4. You're a lucky guy, eh, Martha?
Yeah.
Go home. Jump off the plane, will you? Go home. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Remember this. No other cigarette can give you a cleaner, fresher, milder smoke than Philip Morris. No other cigarette can give you the advantage of better taste and finer flavor that Philip Morris gives you. Remember, of all leading cigarettes, the superiority of Philip Morris, and only Philip Morris, is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists. No other cigarette can make that statement.
This is your girlfriend Milton saying goodnight. See you next Tuesday.
Yes, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. The Million Barrel Show is written by Matt Heisen and Aaron Newton. This is Frank Ellis saying goodnight for Philip Morris.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.